Anyway, questions, if you have any questions about your experiences from the week or just anything you'd like to report or any questions about what I said last week, anything at all. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, posture, you can sit in any posture. It's fine to sit in any posture. There seems to be, I think that the cross-legged posture seems to have some kind of stability to it. I mean, even over this kind of posture. I can't sit in the cross-legged posture anymore at all, but I wish I could, because it does seem to promote some kind of concentration somehow. Something about it really allows you to relax. But if you can't do it, there's nothing that prevents you from getting into very, very deep states of meditation and concentration in a chair, in pretty much any posture. I do a lot of meditation on my back. So something about the cross-legged posture is very wonderful if you can do it. But if you can't, then, you know... Yes. Yeah. So it does. It's something. I'm not sure what it is exactly. I think something about it. It kind of locks the body into a position so that you can really relax. Any other position, like even this one, is just slightly unstable. And in a chair, it's hard to get into a position where everything is really relaxed. It always seems like there's just a little bit of adjustment going on. So if you can do it, you know, and you might want to experiment with it, because the cross-legged posture can be so wonderful. You know, try it for 5 minutes and then get up and sit in a chair. You can do that too, and just work your way into it if you can. I mean, because it does eventually, I mean, unless you injure yourself, you know, have a back injury or something, the hips do open, and there are... Some tips. If you want to come talk to me afterwards, I can show you some ways to help make it a little more comfortable. Yeah. So for those of you trying it now, one thing you can try... if your knees are up like that, it's helpful to get some cushions or something to prop them up so that they're not hanging. You try the square ones, I think, yeah. And you can fold them in half too. That. Yeah. So, any other thoughts or questions or reports about what happened to you this week? Did you try meditating each day, or maybe even just a few days? And how did it go?
I found mindful toothbrushing very hard. It's harder than sitting meditation. I don't know why. You think 2 minutes would be very straightforward.
What about it was hard? Just remembering to do it, or?
Just being present. Mm-hmm. I mean, normally if I sit and meditate, at least for a few minutes, I can keep focus and not go racing off. But it's even when I was brushing my teeth, even this, but I have a electric toothbrush which has a 2 minute timer, so I know it's 2 minutes. And in the space of 2 minutes, I'm probably off 6 or 7 times.
And what were you coming back to in your awareness?
I guess just the physical. I was trying to concentrate on the physical sensation,
yeah.
The feel and the sound.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing to come back to. Partly, I think, you know, we're really used to bringing our attention into the present moment. When we're meditating, you know, we sit down and we start to meditate, and something about that kind of keys us that that's what we're going to be doing. But in our daily life, it can be harder to, even for a few minutes, as you notice, to really be able to keep coming back. So yeah, just keep trying and see what happens. Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. So, just in case you couldn't hear her, I'll try to do this, to repeat what people said. She's trying to just notice her thoughts simply as thoughts, as opposed to getting caught in the content of the thought. And she's finding that to be helpful. I will talk more about how to work with thoughts in a few weeks. So for right now, basically the instruction is, if you notice that you're thinking, as much as possible, just let go of that. And that does help you begin to just notice, oh, that's just a thought, and just come back to the breath or to the body sensations. That's great. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes counting can help. So she was, her basic question was, how does she know she's meditated successfully? You know, how can you kind of measure, I guess, progress? And she was noticing that she was just going off and tried to start counting her breaths to see how many breaths she could stay present for consecutively. And counting is a very good technique to use, especially early in our meditation practice. I didn't talk about it last week, but it is a very good technique. And there's a number of different ways we can work with counting. One way is to count on both the in-breath and the out-breath the same number, one, one, two, two, or to count, and you typically would pick to count either when the breath starts or when it ends. So at the beginning of the breath or at the end of the breath. Or you could just count each in and out breath, just one whole breath. It depends. I think it can be a little bit easier to keep track of where you are if you do a number on both in breath and out breath. You know, one, one, two, two. Another way to do the counting, rather than just going numbers, you know, up to however many, 35, 40, 110, whatever you get to, most likely it would be two or three, actually, is to count from 1 to 10, and then when you get to 10, you go back to 1, so that you don't actually keep going. If you get to 10, then you start over and back and go back to 1. And if you find that you've gotten lost, then you come back and start again at 1. So that it gives you a kind of a sense of how many breaths you're present for. And I had one teacher who told me he used to keep track of groups of 10 on his fingers. So each group of 10, he'd kind of, you know, move a finger over so that he'd know how many groups of 10 that he'd done. So that is a one technique. In terms of judging whether it's a successful meditation, I mean, that it's not really... It doesn't necessarily apply, the question doesn't necessarily apply, because the states of our mind are so different each time we sit down to meditate that sometimes, Gil likes to say, sometimes a successful meditation is simply sitting there for the length of time that you said you would sit there for. You know, just staying on the cushion for 30 minutes is a successful meditation because it took so much energy just to stay there. So, you know, it really can vary, particularly with mindfulness meditation. With concentration practices, which the counting tends to be more of a concentration practice than a mindfulness practice, there can be a little bit more of a judge or a measure of how well you're progressing by how long you can stay with the object. But with mindfulness practice, we typically don't necessarily stay with one object. You know, we may be with the breath for a while, and then with hearing, and then with pressure, and then with an emotion, and then with noticing a thought, and then back to the breath. So that it's a very different approach to meditation, and one that doesn't as easily come up with a distinct measure of I got so concentrated and it got really peaceful. Because sometimes in mindfulness meditation you can be pretty continuously present and yet it all can just feel very chaotic. So it's a little bit hard to say what a successful meditation is, except that you're willing to do it. I mean, that is success in to some extent, just that you're willing to sit there and do it. Yeah. So boredom is what she is noticing, and that she really wanted movement. So that's one thing that you're noticing about your mind. I mean, you're noticing that you have a kind of a preference, in effect, for movement. The classic instruction, once the full instructions have unfolded, would be to pay attention to what it's like to be bored. What is boredom? I mean, it's actually kind of an interest. Why do we get bored? What is it that we're responding to? There's some idea that we should be doing something else, that's popping up in our minds, and we think we should follow that. So boredom doesn't just arise without a cause. Everything arises from a cause. And so beginning to understand what the causes are for these things to arise. Partly it's, I think, in the beginning a lot of people do get bored because our minds are used to so much more stimulation. And it's like, well, what do I do with this breath? There's nothing here. It's like we need something to grab onto. We want something to crystallize ourselves around, to have an experience around. So partly it's at the beginning of our practice, the breath seems pretty boring. But as we do start to pay attention, and actually as the instructions unfold, you may find it a little more interesting. Beginning to pay attention to bodily sensations and to emotions and to the thinking process, it may get a little more interesting. But also, simply learning what it means to pay attention to the body, we start to see that there's so much more in there than we really ever thought was in there. A lot more detail to our experience, a lot more information, essentially. Our body is kind of like a radar that conveys a lot of information to us that we often don't pay attention to. And as we start to see that, it can get a little more interesting. So I would just encourage you to keep trying, keep sticking it out. And one thing you can try is just see if you can pay a little more careful attention to the sensations. See if you can really see what is the first sensation you notice of the in-breath. How do you know that in-breath has begun? Kind of see if you can take an interest in how your body knows what it's doing. So, you can play with it a little bit that way and see what happens. So why don't we go ahead and begin. So we're going to explore mindfulness of the body today, which maybe will bring a little more interest for some of you. And this can be kind of a foreign or unfamiliar concept to actually pay attention to what's going on in our body, to notice the actual sensations that are going on in our body. So I'm going to start with a little guided meditation first to just begin to acquaint you with some of the sensations you might run into as you explore mindfulness of the body. So let's start by hold out your hand and close your eyes. See if you can feel the sensations in your hand. Bring your awareness into your hand. And just see what you notice, what kinds of sensations you notice in the palm of your hand, on the back of your hand, in your fingers. You might notice tingling, pulsing, vibration, heat, cold, pressure, stiffness, lightness, heaviness. Now really, very slowly as you can, turn your hand over in little tiny slow movements. Turn your hand over and notice what the sensations are as you turn your hand. You might feel some kind of creaking or maybe some kind of popping sensations almost. Some of you might be having some difficulty feeling some sensations, so now help to bring some additional sensations into the hands. Rub your two hands together really rapidly for a couple of moments. And now hold your hand out again and see what sensations you feel now. How are they different from they were a moment ago? Notice that there's a difference between the sensations that you're feeling and the idea of hand. So you can open your eyes now. So just very briefly, what kinds of sensations did you notice? Did you notice any of the sensations I mentioned? What did you notice? You did. So you noticed the idea of hand. Uh-huh.
Heat.
You noticed heat?
And, the shaking, tingling.
Tingling. Uh-huh. Heat and tingling. Uh-huh. Yep.
I felt pressure like there was a form that had weight in it.
Yep, pressure like there was a form that had weight in it. What did you notice when the hand turned? Did anybody notice?
It went in discrete little pulses. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. That's really it's very interesting to see that it does do that. That's the way movement is. Yeah. Any other comments? Heaviness. Yep. So there's all these different kinds of sensations in our bodies, not just in our hand, but really everywhere throughout our body. So these are the types of sensations we're going to be exploring in mindfulness of the body. So let's go ahead and do a sitting, and we'll sit for about 20 minutes. So get yourself into a reasonably comfortable, alert, and upright posture. And gently close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths to help you relax around the alertness of your posture. See if you can connect to a sense of presence of being here on the in-breath. And let go and relax on the out-breath. And now let the breathing return to normal. And now we'll scan through the body, seeing if you can let go of any obvious tension that is in your body. So start at the top of your head and let go of any tension in the crown of your head, in your forehead, around your eyes, behind your ears, down the back of the head. And let go of any tension in your cheeks and around your nose, around your mouth, let go of any tension in your jaw, relax your neck, and see if you can let go inside your throat. Relax your shoulders. Across the front of your chest. Across your upper back. Let go of any tension in your arms. Your wrists. In your hands. Let go of any tension around your rib cage. And in the middle of your back. Let go of tension in your abdomen. Your lower back. And in your pelvic cavity. And then see if you can relax your heart, your lungs, your stomach, your intestines, your kidneys, your liver. Let go of any tension in your hips. Your thighs, your buttocks and your hamstrings, relax your knees, your shins, your calves, Let go of tension in your ankles. The tops of your feet. The bottoms of your feet. And your toes. Now see if you can bring attention to your body as a whole and to any degree of relaxation your body feels as a whole. Is there a sense of release or relaxation or pleasantness in the body? Let your attention rest on that for a moment or two. Now within the body, become aware of the sensations that let you know that you're breathing. You may feel the breathing in many places, in your nose, the back of your throat, on your palate, in your chest, in your abdomen. Let your attention rest in the place where the sensations are clearest to you. Just feel the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. There's no need to control the breath, but just notice how the breath appears and disappears. To help the mind stay present with the breath, you can try using a very gentle mental note or label of in and out, or rising and falling if you're paying attention in the chest or the abdomen. Just a quiet whisper in the mind. The note is like a soft recognition of what is happening while it's happening, so that when you're breathing in, you know that you're breathing in. You notice that the mind has been wandering. That moment when you notice it's been wandering is a moment of mindfulness. It can help to note that moment as thinking or wandering. And then as best you can, let go of the thought and simply return your attention again to the sensations of breathing. Now I'd like you to let go of the attention to the breathing and bring your attention to the strongest physical sensation in your body. It might be some kind of a pain. It might be the pressure of your butt on the chair or cushion or bench. It might be the sensation of your hands on your knees. Whatever it is, just bring a very gentle, accepting awareness to the sensation. There's no need to do anything with it other than to notice it. See if you can recognize the sensations. What are the sensations? You might feel pressure, heat, warmth, vibration, burning, stabbing. Quivering. What happens to the sensation as you pay attention to it? Does it get stronger? Does it get weaker? Does it stay the same? If the sensation disappears, just find the next most obvious sensation in the body and bring your attention to that one. The sensation may be large or it may be small. As you're present for the sensation, you might notice some kind of reactivity towards the sensation, a judgment or an emotion, a liking or a disliking. Notice that there's a difference between the reaction and the sensation itself. It can sometimes help to note the sensations you're feeling. Pressure, vibration, tingling, pulsing, stabbing, burning. A gentle reminder to stay present. For the last minute of the sitting, let go of paying attention to that sensation and gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. See how carefully you can notice the different kinds of sensations that are present in the breathing. The pressure, the pulling, the movement, the vibration. See if you can notice the very first sensation that lets you know the in-breath has begun, and the very first sensation that lets you know that the out-breath has begun. So as we start to bring attention to other sensations besides the breathing, it can be helpful to distinguish between what we might call the foreground of attention and the background of attention. So most people are familiar with having something in the foreground of their attention that they're actually paying attention to, but still being aware of things going on around them in what you might call the background of attention. So if you're reading a book or concentrating on something, working on the computer or chopping a vegetable in the kitchen, if somebody walks into the room, you're probably aware that somebody has walked into the room even though you're focused on your task. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. So when we're paying attention to something in our meditation, we consider that object hopefully to be in the foreground of our attention. So that as we're paying attention to the breathing, for example, we may notice sounds and other experiences in the body at the same time that we're paying attention to the breathing, but they may not be very distracting. They're just things that are happening around us. So they could be said to be in the background of our attention. The breathing is in the foreground, and the other experiences are in the background of our attention. So as long as all of those experiences, the sounds, the bodily sensations, the other experiences arising in our in the present moment are in the background, there's no need to do anything with them other than just let them be there. There's no need to try to get them to stop or to push them away. Just simply keep staying with the sensations of breathing. But at some point, some sensation or other will kind of compete for your attention. You'll be paying attention to the breathing, and your mind keeps going to this thing. Maybe there's a car alarm going on outside, and your mind just keeps going there over and over again, and you bring your attention back to the breath. It's like the car alarm has become into the foreground of your attention, so it's competing with your attention for the breathing. So in that case, in mindfulness practice, the instruction is to let go of the breathing and pay attention to that other object that has inserted itself into the foreground of your attention. In a concentration practice, the instruction would be different. In a concentration practice, we're really trying to cultivate the steadiness of mind on a single object. So if the car alarm goes off, we really just keep trying to come back to the breathing. So mindfulness is a little more spacious in this way, that if something else is happening, we let our attention be with that something else, with as little reactivity as possible, hopefully. Often a car alarm may trigger some kind of judgment or anger or frustration. How can I meditate with the car alarm going off? Well, you can meditate with the car alarm. You can hear the sound of the car alarm, and we'll be talking about hearing meditation later tonight. So that's the basic instruction, that if you notice something, a bodily sensation that becomes stronger than your ability to stay with the breathing, you can let go of the breathing and bring your full mindful attention to that bodily sensation, be it pressure, be it a pain, be it a lovely tingling sensation, whatever it is, just bring your attention to that sensation. And as you pay attention to it, you'll notice that it changes. You may notice that it gets stronger, that it gets weaker. As it becomes, it may keep your attention for a while, but at some point it may also kind of become less compelling and fade back into the background. And at that point you can come back just to paying attention to the sensation of breathing again. So this instruction will be the same for all of the different objects in our experience. We can be mindful of anything. We can be mindful of emotions. We can be mindful of the thinking process. We can be mindful of bodily sensations, sounds, smells, tastes. So the basic instruction is start with your primary object, and if something becomes stronger, let go of the primary object of the breathing and bring your attention to that other thing that has become predominant. So for this week, I'm going to suggest that you keep it to just bodily sensations. If strong emotion arises or strong thinking arises, see if you can let go of those for now. We'll talk about how to bring mindful attention to those in the next few weeks. But you can probably, if you've got a strong emotion or strong pattern of thinking going on, there's probably some kind of resonance in the body about that experience. So see if you can ground your attention in the body. What is happening in the body? So much of this practice, of mindfulness practice, is about learning to become embodied. So I'd just like to ask for a minute what happened to you when I suggested that you let go of the breathing and pay attention to another object. What kinds of objects did you notice, and what happened to the object when you paid attention to it? What kinds of sensations did you notice?